Are you ready?
Sure.
Whoever you are, right?
Hey, I love paper for that.
Do you want to use this mic over here, Walter?
Oh, I don't know. I used to record it loud one time.
Okay.
I don't know whether they're gonna hear me on the mic. I'm getting weak.
But it would be good. It would be good if you could use the mic, because then it would be on the record, tape.
I'm a little bit nervous. At this time, I would like to bring to your attention that before I call a meeting to order, I would like to thank all those people that bring food and prepare them. It was very delicious. I think everybody enjoyed it. Maybe we should give those people a big hand, okay? Next is, it's my pleasure to introduce everybody to Judge Thomas Berger. It's fortunate Board Game Little Village is elected that to have a hearing is something to be proud by the people, okay? And his staff, he's going to introduce his own staff, but I don't know their names, so okay, this time I would like to call a meeting to order and thank everybody for coming and attending this meeting. Also, purpose of meeting here is to you ask question concerning a native land claim which been passed December 18, 1971. Any question, even right or wrong, or you want to testify to any part of the native land game, what harm, what advantage, how it's native benefiting, how it's been not benefiting, all these questions. Also, your future depends upon this, because very important meeting tonight. I think everybody should ask questions and pay attention. Bring out, because we're going to have to live with it all our lives. So we got more we know and learn all about it, what's about it. It's better for us because we pass it on, we're going to pass it on to our children, what little it's going to be start big when we first pass the ball. It's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Put it on nil. That's I'm going to speak later about that. At this time, I would turn the meeting over to Judge Berger.
Okay.
And Doric Mitchell will introduce and explain to you what's all about their Alaska Native Commission review. I don't know that much, but it's my pleasure to introduce many. So. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McGannick. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm here to review the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, the land claim settlement that Congress established for you, the Alaska Natives, back in 1971, and I want to know how it's worked out here in Port Graham and in the Chugach region. I want you to tell me about the land claim settlement, about the way it's worked out as far as you're concerned, the good points and the bad points. I want you to tell me how you think the village corporation is working out, how you think the regional corporation is working out. And if you want to throw North Pacific Rim in too, that's fine. I'd like to hear about them.
Excuse me. For the record, excuse me, I didn't mention Chugach are represented by Edgar Blatchford tonight. Also, North Pacific Rim is represented by Trenty Debius. This is for the record. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, maybe I could just introduce my wife, Beverly, who's here, and she's the lady with the red hair there in the middle of the room, and she'll be taking one or two pictures, photographs, during the evening, if you don't mind. With us also is Carolyn Moyer over here, the lady in the green sweater, who's a writer traveling with us this week. And this is Jim Sykes, who is taking down on tape everything that's said. He's the man with the colorful suspenders. And at the back is Doric Meshaw, who helped to organize the meeting tonight. May I begin by thanking the ladies who prepared the potluck supper. We certainly are grateful that you invited us to join you for supper, and we did enjoy it very much. And we, speaking for the people who traveled with me and came tonight, we do appreciate it. This is the 32nd meeting that we've held around Alaska. I started these meetings back in February, and we've been to 31 villages and towns so far, and this is the 32nd. And at these meetings, about 650 people have spoken, have given me their views about ANCSA, the land claim settlement, about the corporations, about 1991, about shares, taxation, native sovereignty, all of these issues that people are concerned about in Alaska. And I'll be traveling to other regions until the beginning of next year. And by the time I'm through, I will have been to about 50 or 55 villages and towns, and I guess I will have had heard from about 1,000 people at these meetings. Now, I was asked to do this. I was asked to come and hold these meetings, not by the federal government and not by the state of Alaska. I was asked to do this by two Native peoples organizations. Two international Native peoples organizations, the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an organization of Native Indian people from North America and South America. And I'm here to listen to what you have to say about the land claim settlement. And next year, when I've finished these meetings, I'll write a report, and in it, I will set out how the land claim settlement has worked out, the good points and the bad points. I'll make my own recommendations about 1991 and what ought to be done. And I will send the report to you. It'll be made public in the summer of 1985. I'll send it to you, and you can use it to decide what you're going to do about the future of your land, your corporations, your shares, and your claims to self-government. Now, wherever I've gone, people have talked about 1991, and they are concerned because, as you know, each of you holds 100 shares in your village corporation, and each of you holds 100 shares in your regional corporation. After 1991, those shares can be sold, and if enough of you sell your shares, then outsiders, non-natives, corporations in the lower 48, maybe corporations from other countries, might take over your village and regional corporations, and if they took over your corporations, then they would be able to take over your land. Now, I want to know whether you want to sell your shares in 1991. Maybe you need the money to fix your house or buy a snow machine or get new fishing gear. I don't know. But if you feel that way, I hope you'll speak up and tell me that that's your view. If you don't think your shares should be available for sale, if you think that native land should stay in native hands, well, I'd like to hear that too. I suppose you know that 20 years after the land is conveyed to the native corporations, that is, after 1991 and in the years that follow, the native land, the land held by the corporations, can be taxed by the state or by the borough or by the city, and native land that is taxed could be seized by the state or the borough or the city and sold if native corporations couldn't pay taxes on the land. That's something you should think about. Then, wherever we've gone, people have talked about the fact that the children born since 1971 do not have the right to be enrolled as shareholders in the corporations. They have to wait for their parents to die, and their parents might leave them their shares. They might leave their shares to somebody else. But wherever we've gone, people have said, why were the children born since 1971, the new natives, not included in the settlement? And I want to know how you feel about that. Then there's the question of native sovereignty or self-determination that keeps coming up. And if you want to talk about it, I'd like to know how you feel about it. Some people have said the best way to protect native land, to make sure it remains in native hands, is to strengthen ANCSA, to ensure that the shares in the corporations can never be sold to non-natives. Others say, well, we can't really do that under the law, or it might turn out to be very, very difficult to do. So the best thing to do is to turn over the land, to have the corporations transfer the land to the IRA governments or the traditional councils and let them hold it, because they couldn't be taken over by outsiders and by non-natives. So the question of the role of IRA governments and traditional councils keeps coming up, and if you want to talk about that, I'd like to know what you have to say. Generally, this is an opportunity for me to listen to what you've got to say, because when I write my report, it'll be based on what you tell me. That's why Jim Sykes is taking down the evidence on tape. It'll be typed up, and there'll be a transcript, and we'll send that transcript to you. And when I write my report, it'll be based on what you tell me. so that in my report I can say, this is what Alaska Natives told me, this is what they want, and these are my recommendations about how we should help them to get where they want to go. So, having said all that, I just want to say how pleased we are to be here and to invite you to speak. Now, if you wouldn't mind, if you had come up to the front and just take a seat here and speak into this microphone, it would help us, because it means we can get everything you say down on tape. So if you don't mind walking up here to this microphone and just speaking here, that would be very helpful to us. So I think we're open for business, and I suppose the only other thing I should say is that the Chugach Regional Corporation helped us to come on this series of visits to villages in the Chugach region, and we're eager that we should come and hear what you had to say, even if it was critical of the Chugach Corporation. I should also say that the North Pacific Rim also wanted us to come down and hear what you had to say, even if it turned out to be critical of North Pacific Rim. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say good things about Chugach and North Pacific Rim, but feel free to give me both sides. So,
Mr. Berger,
yes?
I understand that maybe Chugach should say a few words, Edgar.
Would you like to say a few words, Edgar? Well,
Thank you, Walter. It's always a pleasure for you to invite me to speak. And would like to say to you, Justice Berger, that we welcome you to the Chugach region again. We're delighted that you could take the time to come and visit some of our communities. I must admit that the contribution that Chugach Alaska made to your efforts was not a significant amount, but we felt that we owed it to our shareholders to allow them to participate in the hearings, whether their comments were critical or supportive of what Chugach is doing. We're not particularly interested in flattery phrases, although it's kind of nice to hear those sometimes. We're really interested, and I speak for the Chugach board, we're interested in hearing what we can do to improve the corporation and the livelihoods of our shareholders, and also to see whether our shareholders and the Native peoples of our region feel that the goals and objectives of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act are being fulfilled. We believe that the expectations of the shareholders have not been met. We also believe that the expectations of the shareholders will not be met within the next 7 years before 1991. We are admittedly at a loss as to what we are going to do regarding the possible sale and transfer of stock in Native corporations. We are certainly concerned about the possibility of Chugach ceasing to be a Native corporation after 1991, and we're deeply concerned about the possibility that the lands around Native villages will cease to be Native lands. We would like Chugach to remain a Native corporation after 1991. In the event that likelihood is not met, then we would want to work to help ensure that our shareholders are not cheated out of what their shares of stock are worth in 1992 if our shareholders decide to sell those shares. We hope our shareholders want to remain with Chugach Alaska. We hope our shareholders will be proud to be shareholders in our corporation. And we also need your help as we continue on to 1991 and certainly into the 21st century. I think the last thing we want to see is the land underneath the village corporations, the land underneath Port Graham Corporation, to be owned and operated and controlled by multinational companies, by oil companies, perhaps Exxon, perhaps Sohio, perhaps Arco, perhaps a foreign company, perhaps a well-diversified company in the lower 48. Our concern is basically for the shareholders of the region, and more specifically to the Alaska Native peoples of the Chugach region. As you come here to speak to the mic, I hope none of you feel that you have to say good things about anybody. You certainly don't. We don't want to think that you have to say good things about the regional corporation or about the village corporations. We expect the comments to be constructive, and we want the comments to be from as many people who want to testify as possible. And let me close by saying that we are again delighted that Justice Berger is in our region, and we look forward to your comments. We have no control over what you say or what Judge Berger is going to write in his report, and that is the way we want it. Thank you, Justice.
Thank you, Mr. Blatchford. Okay, well, who would like to...
We should have RIM.
Yeah, where is the RIM? Torrenti here?
He's on his way.
Okay.
Oh, on his way. Well, while we're waiting for him, maybe you want to
go ahead. You want to speak?
Do you want to sit here, or we can bring the mic over there? And you've got all your notes there. Maybe, Doric, you could bring that mic over there.
Well, I could sit any place.
No, you're fine there.
Okay. My name is Walter McGannick from Port Graham. I've been chief. I've been involved in Native land claim very beginning. In fact, I filed a protest in October 26, 1966 in Anchorage for the Chugach. Ever since, I sleep very little. And also, I involved in the December 18, 1971 meeting in Anchorage when this land claim was pushed, implemented, and President Nixon pushed it, and we were in desperate position because we were forced and didn't give us enough time to come back to our village to explain to our people what we're getting into. And a lot of questions asked at that meeting wasn't answered. I think, to me, the reason for it was pipeline terminal, and pipeline pushed it. They want to build a pipeline. That's why
And it was very confusing meeting, and everybody, wonder whether to accept it or not. Therefore, ever since then, I study more, I look into that native land claim. I feel I got a guilty conscience of selling out my future grandchildren, unborn one. And I sold their identity and culture. And that's what if you see December 18, 1971, page 3 in Public Law 92-208, I'm going to read it for the record. What we give up. Section 4 of B. Section 4 of that Act. All of original title, if any, and claim of original title in Alaska based on use, occupancy, including submerged land underneath all water area, both inland and offshore, and including any of original hunting or fishing rights that may exist hereby extinguished. That extinguish, you know what that word means. It's these the things we give up to accept this native land claim. Section 14C of the page 3, all claim against United States and the state and all other persons that are based on claim of original right title, use or occupancy, land, water, area in Alaska, or that are based on any statute or treaty of United States relating to native use and occupancy, or that are based on the law of any other nation, including any such claim that are pending before any federal or state court or the Indian Claim Commission, hereby extinguished. This section really bothers me concerning of Native people social welfare, their health, how it's going to affect after 1991, such as Indian Health Service may be game just for emergency cases only. And this is what we give up. That's why I got a guilty feeling. I accepted this native land claim. I was one of the leader that attended that meeting, and I gave away our inheritance, culture, and pretty soon we won't have no identity, because money that we receive from native land claim just about all gone. We use it just to resolve a lot of problem in this claim itself. And land's gonna go same way. And land stock alienation will begin in 1991. It's not going to affect till 1992. Stock alienation, stock reissuance. Stock will be reissued. We can be unrestricted in 1991. Every stockholder in Chukets and Port Graham Corporation will be reissued with new stock unrestricted. When that happened, you know what's going to happen. When we don't have no money and somebody offer the money,
when I know how meaning of being broke. I think everybody had the same experience. Very dangerous of somebody's gonna be sold out. When you sold out, you sold out your 100 share, your land, and you can't pass it on to your children then. Your children are not going to inherit it. That's the danger part of the when stuck unrestricted in, because for instance, a lot of limited entry fishing, and limited entry has been sold all over the state of Alaska, not only in Port Graham and the other villages. It's going to happen, same thing. Corporation, for instance, Port Graham Corporation is organized internally. So is Chukats. But the control, what I'm talking about is a control, a native control, will be gone. Somebody else, big corporation, rich oil people, rich big corporation, buy you, sir, sometime in the near future, maybe next 50 years or 100 years, some of you gonna be watching from outside in, if that happened, unborn grandchildren, their children are affected. It's very, because inherited, the only way they can get into native land claim is by inheriting. Me pass it to my kids, my grandchildren, which is today. Tomorrow, if they hang on, that is, if I hang on to my stock and when 1991, maybe I'll be broke and needing money, maybe crippled up with arthritis or something. I need money to go to the hospital and kill. Well, you're sick, Walter. Here's $50,000. This is the way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen little by little, and everything. And that's the way it goes. That's the bad part of. Not only that. When we accepted this native land claim, we jeopardize our social services. Maybe we're hurting our people, or particularly our children, their children, because I remind you that again. In the other section, I questioned that nobody answered me in that meeting, December 18, 1971. Day before that, it took us three days meeting in Anchorage. Section 14 of H3, page 17 on the Native Land Public Law, on 92-203, is I question it myself. Section 14 of H, paragraph 3, it reads, the Secretary may withdraw and convey to the native residing in Sitka, Kenai, Juneau, and Kodiak. This is what I'm speaking about, is hardship case. We question it, why Short and Waldies and Cordova were left out, yet there was native people was living in those areas at the time. I feel that the native themselves discriminate their native by AFN representing. There was a fight among native began before this passed, like as always. I think somehow AFN gonna had bad feeling against those cities or prejudiced against them because they didn't join them or whatever. That's how I figured those was ignored. Three in Sitka, Kenai, and Juneau, and Kodiak. Not the only big cities in the state of Alaska. We have Short and Wallis and Cordova. And this, I still today I question it. The more I look at it, I see why the reason. I don't want to point the reason out in this for the record. I don't want to point finger at this and that, because it happened too late. I'm hoping in this, what you do, Honorable Thomas Berger, your work be used to correct some of these bad clauses in the Native land claim. And another one is, I wrote a letter to Stephen one time concerning Savanai. I strongly believe decision made without consideration of a village corporation. Mind you yourself, Mr. Berger, you know you've been up north. I never been up in Eskimo country, someplace where it's barren, just like the top of the table. Yeah? No trees, no willows, nothing. You know, and the surface value, nothing. Of course. Unfortunately, Port Kemp Corporation, we have lots of trees. And also, that Savanai, I don't like it because there's no definition. It doesn't define what is surface, what is subsurface. How far do I have to drive the piling from my surface down to the subsurface before I trespass my other bodies. And to me, what I see on the surface, I believe that's the surface. Gravel, sand, rock, boulders, bluffs, whatever, is all surface. I don't believe they belong to the subsurface because they're all exposed to. So I'm going to find my letters here. I'm going to read that for the record if I can. Yeah. I don't know, I had my paper all mixed up today. Somehow I got it out of the way. I'm not good in paperwork because I'm a trapper, hunter, or whatever. I don't believe in the fancy office, so I... here's the Honorable Ted Stephen, United States Senate, Washington, D.C. They're dead. In response to your letter, January 19, 1983, concerning confirmation of a settlement of the Seven I dispute to remove Sand Craver from treatment under 7I. I would like to see a definition of surface including soil craver down to the bedrock and define subsurface from bedrock as a mineral starting point. If possible, it might not work. Some areas there is no bedrock. This sure would clear the question in mind, how far down piling can be driven before trespassing the subsurface owners. And it would define how much the subsurface can be take exposed sand, gravel, rocks, boulders, and rock on a bluff, sand and gravel on a beach is within the boundary of high water. Also, this would give a little more value on surface land, has some village located in a barren country, no trees, therefore no timber for market, no other than raising potatoes. This also question whether how far down surface can be dug before trespassing a second party. All above what I said would improve village land. Dated December 15, 1988, village president had a meeting with the Chukaj region. We did talk about gravel and sand 7I. Haven't received the materials from that meeting. Just as soon as I received them, forward to you. Thank you very much for your letter and sincerely, my name. Accountant was CNI Carl Probe, AFN Jenny Leesk, Frank Merkowski, Don Young. And that meeting, I still haven't received the material from my Chukets on that meeting. So I haven't sent those materials to them yet. Here's a reply from January 28, 1983. It addressed to me, dear Walter, thank you for your correspondence. We respect EXNEC, English Bayport Camp Corporation. The views concerning settlement of 6 and 7I of Anska. Your ideas of definition surface and surface and subsurface is state using bedrock boundary line interesting one, and we will give it some thought. Frank Mikorski and I expect to address this issue here in the Senate later on this year, and Frank hope to hold hearing on the issue. Or any event, we will certainly take your view into consideration as the legislative solution to 7I issue. Thank you for taking time to share your thoughts on this matter. And with best wishes, cordially, Dead Stephen. I don't know what happened or what became of this. Such a meeting, it never materialized. I don't know what happened somebody stopped it or what. It was supposed to be taken by the Congress, I guess, the legislative solution to 7I never occurred, never happened. I don't know what if Edgar or Terenty here could answer that question. So I wrote Agnes and Dionic, Agnes Brown. thank you for your quick response to my letter, March 28, 1998, and materials I sent you concerning sand gravel and definition of boundary surface are my concern from the very beginning. That is how I stand on this concern. Thank you for your materials. You sent me list the name a staying committee which I was not aware of. And after looking at the meeting notices, I could not meet certain. There is so much for me to do. Some areas we feel out when is the right time to meet, and with except an emergency meeting. Anyway, keep up the good work and try to work towards a native interest and concern. So it's for me. That's my concern on the now for. Go back to Public Law 92-203, December 18, 1971. Taxation is not going to begin exactly in 1991 or 92. It's gonna begin date of issuance of deed, whatever permit. There's another public law. It's been passed. It's so-called land bank. Public Law 96-487-96 Congress been act on this. If anybody read it, on this Public Law 96-480 on December 2, 1980 on. I don't know what. I'm not much good. Must be at the page 94, state you for 2444. What I'm talking about here is Alaska.